edit the guidelines are sort of never finished, but we're planning to do some work around them during the work session also, so it's kind of the comment that you're making now, so we kind of take them into consideration in this work session, which is which doesn't always happen. We don't always have the time to work on the guidelines work session throughout the work session this time we do. So someone wants to start? we don't have to make a whole story out of it. Maybe we can just give it. Maybe I can say what some things that have been written.
We didn't go through all the guideline, but we mostly stopped on, I think, three different points. Maybe we can complete if I'm missing something. First one was maybe this would be the paper in which we can clarify the economical model on which this session is happening, and with who are the actors that are involved and where does the money come from, and then maybe speak more about the if there's like grants, fundings, are there people waiting for something in return, so to get a sense of what we are working on and in which direction and for who, somehow, if there's a who. The next thing was about the first line of the guideline and about the word refusing and deconstructing all these oppressions. We thought, and maybe you could complete me, that maybe acknowledging that these type of oppression exists in our spaces, and we might not be able to just leave them by the door, but we have to like actively fight against them instead of just withdraw from them, and just stating that this is a safe space, because it's more complex and subtle than just.
I just want to add something to that too. I really like this idea of acknowledging and then actively working to create an inclusive space. So it feels like the first guideline isn't a negative, even though I think there's so much importance around actively opposing and resisting these and not tolerating, but how that goes hand in hand with actively working on making people feel included.
And I think there was a third point, but
I think it was around the flagging incidents. I think the question was a bit more, how can we make it more of a collective thing? Because oftentimes what happens is that the victim or the person that goes through some type of aggression has to verbalize it in an email or like to someone, and that's not an easy thing to do, so can someone continue?
Yeah, well, we said that it would be nice to find some collective type of solutions for flagging that liberate the person that is under pressure of needing to come forward, and so we spoke about different care possibilities. If there is a care person that is inside and see the dynamics, but it's a bit aside, or if it needs to be completely an external support that is there in case it's necessary, and we talk about that a lot because because of flagging, it's some kind of action that is more also a caring action and a soft way of doing the flagging. Yeah, is okay.
May I add something to that?
Yes.
I know that in the let's say in the queer feminist and radical left circles in Graz and also in Vienna, there is a strong movement for these awareness teams, so that there's actually always a group of people who take care of what is happening, so they become kind of the person you can talk to. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So it's not, so maybe it's kind of a several step flagging process or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's already clear who you can address, so you don't need to find a friend or a person who's part of the organizing team or whatever, but it's just people who are there with that intent that if something is happening, that they'll be first, they kind of, it's not that they observe, but I mean that they're even more looking what's happening, and they're also somehow, usually they're, they have some clothing on them so that you can know they are in that moment part of their awareness team. Because it's also, when it's a longer evening, it could be that I do it for 2 hours and then you take over. So
I think we came from, I have been in places where it is with awareness team, but like, yeah, when the person in the awareness team becomes the aggressor or the person to be denounced, you come for me in very complex situations, and that was why we started to talk also about this external person, which has like a professional background or not, to be able to listen in, and that it's just like listening, because like, yeah, what if within the awareness team.
I also just wanted to add a couple things that are also coming from conversations in queer feminist kind of like harm reduction situations, and there's a big discussion over the years about not talking about safe spaces, which are actually like not really possible, but actually just talking about safer spaces in terms of trying to make things as safe as possible, knowing that that's not entirely possible either. So I think that's really important to think about in that sense. But also most recently, while there was this huge push towards having awareness teams, especially at parties, for example, there's actually been a flip backwards, because then they're starting to get the sense that people would show up and then just rely on the awareness team to like help them. And so there's actually been a little bit of a pushback to have it be less about having like designated people than really making it like the community responsible. So I mean, I can see it both ways, it depends on the context, but I think this is quite interesting because it can create also problems in a strange way.
Yeah, of course. So it gets dedicated in that.
Yeah, and then people are like, okay, someone's going to take care of me, you know? And they don't be self-responsible, actually, in some cases. Mm-hmm. Or they're not thinking they need to watch out for their friends or whatever. So, this is really interesting, actually, especially in the context of thinking about solidarity networks.
But the question of how to communicate this in a non-verbal way is still like a question. So we don't know
how to communicate it
in a non-verbal way, like so that you don't have to go to someone and tell, hey, this is happening, but some other way of communication. Mm-hmm. I think the example, there was a workshop where this person had some red cards. And then they said, they communicated in a very strange way that made it so that it was very uncomfortable to actually use, because they said, yeah, this never happened, we're probably never going to use it, but...
So you have the two, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, and it was red cards that you could take and put on a wall to just flag that you were uncomfortable and that there was an incident. And then the idea was that people wouldn't come to you to ask questions, just to make people aware that it was happening. But I think it's a bit tricky because then, you have a red card and it's like you're the odd one out in the room. So people kind of like will see you differently, I guess, depending on the situation. So
I'm not sure, but maybe we can follow up with the sort of report from our discussion. Mm-hmm. And maybe start with the beep. Yeah, because we have a sort of not outspoken system mentioned in the we didn't speak about it in the guidelines, which is involving also sending an email. So it's again this question of verbalization, of course, to a beep at all stamps, which we didn't speak about. No?
Yeah,
and what happens then?
Because I asked if there was someone behind this email address.
Ah.
No, but because sometimes you create an email address, but after...
But after Alex, nobody's read it anymore.
But what is the? Is it one person? It is Alex. You receive the question, but that, or the that's the report of someone. And is it they can take care collectively or Alex?
Yeah.
I was wondering what is who or what is behind this this beep and if it's active right now or.
Should we answer?
Yeah. Just a question. No,
it's a question. It's a rotating role. So it's like, for instance, the last work session in this kind of meeting was responsible for. And this time, I think we didn't decide. But the idea is that, of course, it's like me checking the emails, but actually I'm reporting back to the team to make a collective decision around it. So it's... Yeah, it's being reported to collectivity, not just to one person.
But if somebody sends a message to be back or so, you are checking the news.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't need to know who is behind that.
No, but
it was just the question to know if, because sometimes in some collectives that I'm apart from, we are like, are we creating a new address? Because after you need a care team behind it.
Yeah.
Also, that's also a lot of.
Yeah, and now if I see there is written, it shouldn't be somebody from the organizational team, so it shouldn't be.
You see, on the it's a constant team member who is not in the organizational
team.
Yeah, not in the organization. Oh,
yeah, well, this is the version that we made for the previous work session where he was not in the organizational.
But I'm also not doing this one, right?
No.
So that's very complex. That's very unclear,
yeah.
Because like you can be part of Constant, but it doesn't mean that you're part of the organization team or the work session, because not the whole team is on it, otherwise it's just chaos. But it's a Constant person. The way we did it until now, it's a Constant person looking at it, but it's the proposal we came up with, which maybe is not most, not the one you would propose. So if you have other ideas.
No, maybe it's good to know who's from the organizational team of Constant now then.
This work session.
But also, just to be clear, the email is not the first approach to this question. This is like already you suggested that any of us can be contacted through these days. And this is in case someone wants to do it in a few days after maybe some moment happened that it was not dealt with in the moment, or if someone wants to avoid somehow a direct discussion about it, but more like let know that something happened or was moving. So in a way, the email is not the main entrance to deal with issues, but in this case, yeah, we are technically involved with the content, and I think this division between organizational team and not organizational team is maybe weird for the session, because we are also at ESC.
We're also present, and what if one of us is on the person, then what happens?
But I think you're right, you need some clarification. I mean, we did experiment in a previous work session with, there was a very nice term for it, but I don't remember, like a rotating team of people who were not part of Constant, who were like the listeners. So if you had something came up, you could talk to them, and then the listeners would go to Constant, and then we kind of, for instance, if the person wanted to stay anonymous, then the person of the Constant would know that something happened, but not to whom. Or if it's something that needed to discuss, then it was sort of like Constant needed to come with some proposals on how to deal with it. That was a system that we tried 3-4 years ago. But it needs that some people of the work session, some participants of the work session need to, we need to have people who want to do this, who are interested in doing this. Which maybe from one session to the other, it's not always the case.
Yeah, I think it's nice to propose it. And mm-hmm. while you are saying the guidelines, that mm-hmm. maybe these different roles mm-hmm. are also set in the beginning mm-hmm. of a work session, at mm-hmm. least to say this is the way we already did. Do we want to do it like that? Because like mm-hmm. active listeners, just also not on huge conflicts here can be also a positive thing, because mm-hmm. sometimes these sessions are quite intense, so maybe you can just mm-hmm. talk to
yeah.
some people about things you're living, which is not an immediate insult or mm-hmm. some people. So,
I was wondering, do you want to then decide now a group of active listeners? Or it was, I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm. It was, if I remember well, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, it was one person per day, and then it was a work session of 10 days almost, like 10 people, but it was a lot of people, much more people than
okay.
So here will be 6 people, basically. Or maybe someone who's interested in doing it 2 days, but I wouldn't say someone for the whole week, there's too much.
Mm-hmm. Shall we have some more observations?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, maybe...
We have 15 minutes more.
15 minutes, so maybe we have 3
yeah.
minutes to go, right?
Maybe it's, sorry, just to say this point, just because mm-hmm. it feels like it's hanging,
yeah.
is something to come back to by the
yeah.
end of today to decide how we function about the
exactly.
yeah.
Yes. We also talk about the kids today. No? The kids? No, because I'm also playing with the idea of making that part of a university kid somehow. So, so
okay.
yes, it is
okay.
part here and now, but
mm-hmm.
maybe also as a sort of more longer discussion
mm-hmm.
that we can maybe compare experiences and gather them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we also came to speak about the others, like there's the one, two, three, the one that was not involved, avoiding to speak for others, and the whole discussion of othering that we are always part of, and that this is a generalization that we somehow, it opens two ways, no? Like on the one hand, by not being specific, you leave that discussion also open, which is kind of good. On the other hand, you want to be more specific about it, you know, like how does this inclusion, exclusion work within the group that we are in now. But so that was one thing that in relation to the question of thinking about the we's that we have, there is always the we and the non-we, you know? And that this relates both on like theoretical level to human, not human, or to groups that are here and groups that are not here, no? So that was something that we picked up on, no?
Yeah, but we didn't come to any, I think, concrete resolution.
No, it was part of the lockdown, no resolutions.
It's a question now.
Yeah, but just to continue that, and then after you can also, but because I think it was Olivia and Rémi who also picked that up, like the we is kind of, you start to read and it's directly we, so you've pushed into like the collectivity suddenly. And maybe it's also just good to say, okay, the we is the adjective pronoun that we came up with, that we felt the most comfortable with. We haven't found a solution yet to this weird formation of collectivity, but maybe just to notify it in the guidelines themselves that this is a decision that we took because we haven't found another way of really talking
mm-hmm.
because we had tried with the you, it was terrible. So
it's the imperative.
So it's like, okay, the we is kind of, that's where we ended up, and
mm-hmm.
it's maybe good also just to say this,
mm-hmm.
we're not completely convinced by it, but we haven't found something that works better for us.
Do. Then it doesn't include you too much.
Where you go, else you add something to it, or it's more points that we need to talk about. Okay. maybe some other group wants to continue.
There are parts in here that you're clearly using we as constant and other parts that you're saying we as a group, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
So maybe just designating those who make sense.
So
saying, like at the beginning, each time we will make time and space for these guidelines.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not the group; it's constant.
Yeah.
So there might just be ways to when it is constant to just say each time constant makes time. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
We also discussed about that, and I think this column about the commitment of constant wasn't there before. In the beginning, when the guidelines are there, because now it starts to be confusing with these.
Mm-hmm.
We also talked about.
Oh,
yeah.
We found it somewhat funny to have such a long commitment about accessibility, but maybe written in a way that didn't feel accessible. Knowing that, just a caveat, to say respectfully, that it is so hard to write a brief, concise paragraph that is like really clear and speaks to people across lots of languages and cultural backgrounds. So I'd say that knowing it's so, and also I love that this is the seventh iteration. So of course it's only going to get longer and longer and longer. So I'm curious, how could it maybe actually become one paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
That then becomes expanded by these other aspects. But
in the process of this, I see also the contextualization comes from the sixth version because it doesn't say seven there, but anyway,
yeah.
There has been a process of growth, like, you know, to a level of the thing like reading the short version.
Yeah.
So we do have a short version, which is basically the bold lines.
Yeah.
And then there's indeed no commitment. So, to have maybe a small, concise paragraph. Commitments that can expand into a bigger one. It's a good suggestion.
Mm.
Thanks.
What else?
One thing that came up in our group that indeed might sound still a bit cryptic is what is the collective conditions for reuse. This is important. And this we will make some time for in the afternoon. It refers also to how we propose from the start to attach a form of license of text that defines the way that work that is produced collectively can be recirculated and reused, and so it takes part of our continuous involvement with the free software licenses, but tries to make a critical reading of authorship and collective authorship.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's something that indeed we propose that all the documentation is redistributed as such, but it's something that we should definitely look at what it means and discuss. Some more hanging suspects.
Any other observations that came from your groups?
I mean, we talked about a lot of different parts. I don't know, for me, maybe there was this part about between the second point, leaving physical, emotional, and conceptual room for other people, and also the point about avoiding to speak for others, like implies a self-awareness about how much space you take up. But maybe that could be more explicit, because like in situations where I work with groups that are very multilingual and all these things, like that seems to actually be the biggest thing that comes up when people, I mean, some people are just more extroverted and introverted than others, but
mm-hmm.
just, I usually ask people to like think, okay, if I've spoken today, like maybe I should not speak anymore today, or, you know, encourage other people to speak, but also if people don't want to speak, that's also totally fine. Like just like maybe something about the self-awareness part of that could be more explicit. But
but I appreciate both of those points.
I think there was also some discussion about maybe the line taking time to actually listen, which you brought up a lot of good points about that that could be expanded on. I don't know if you want to say any more about that, but like defining what listening is, because it can be many different things, as you were saying.
Yeah, listening is an action that we do, but usually we think that we listen through the ears only, you know, and that's why I think it's useful the work with the body, because we listen with the body completely, it's a unit. So there's different ways of listening, and I think it's something that takes time, that takes care, that takes detail, and it might be very subjective, but at the same time it can be objective. So it requires work and deepening, because it's not just an action. You know, listening is something that we take for granted, and it needs to be dealt with, you know? And so, and there are ways of opening the understanding of what that is.
Taking part in our section with different background and different knowledge, to not assume things in a context of general collective feedback, just like not give as obvious that another person will completely understand what you're talking about, because we have different, very different knowledge, different backgrounds. So also, on the other side, don't feel bad about not understanding and not feeling scared about asking what's actually the topic and saying that you're not completely aware about what's going on, what's the topic in general.
Which is in connection with the care for physical and digital environment was both like realize, acknowledge, and question the assumptions of normativity of technology that we have about how much you are connected, how powerful your machine is, what software you know, but also when we propose diversions from it, the patience and generosity in being open to share how things can work different and allow different speeds.
Also, I may add something to this. I've learned among this kind of space that maybe sometimes not evaluating only the technical discourse but also emotional discourse to speak about technology, like how do I feel about this technology, is as important and interesting as the what do I know from this technology to speak about. So also the imagination, and then to make like people with a lot of knowledge on the same level than people with not so much technical knowledge, but then it's always interesting to share, I would say. Mm-hmm. That's interesting insights.
Well, maybe to follow up on that, because I feel also the presence of devices is also not really so much tackled here. It seems a lot, we are saying non-human agents, but like, yeah, you know that in these situations there will be laptops, phones, and they are all the time there, like how to make them present from an effective way maybe, or instrumentalized way for documentation, or to have a little bit of if the phone is ringing. No, but normally we would think our phone is ringing, it's out loud, it's interruptive for a group, but maybe it's important that your phone is out loud and but it's acknowledged, because like, I don't know, you have to receive an important call or and you don't like the buzz or you to not already go from this normative approach of phones have to be out, because maybe it's not true. And to take a time and a space to acknowledge these presences of devices. Routers, telecom.
Okay, so we have 5 more minutes. I have one wish. I would ask 2 people to help me clean up a little bit the kitchen area. The others can actually already start. I mean, if there's nothing else. But before everybody leaves, please 2 people help me.
It's just good, also just because we didn't say it, but I mean, it's in the garden, and we can just repeat it, and we have to take care of the spaces. Also means doing the dishes, like not leaving stuff.
Exactly.
I don't have to do it every day, but it's nice.
And
maybe
we mark the cups.
Yeah, we mark the cups,
so it's easier to find them and not to use
them. And what do you prefer, that we use the stone cups or
we take
the paper cups?
Actually, you can use stone and glass. There's a lot of glass also in there. I just put it out, but so we can totally use the glasses and then just put them in the dishwasher. I just think that it's nice that it's always like two people and not everybody, because then it also becomes total chaos. But kind of take turns, and if you haven't done something for 3 days.
And so just so at the end of the day, we try to think of these active listeners. Maybe we can try, and you can think about it during the day, and then propose something if you're interested.
Something on the trash. We have to split the trash or not, because I'm not.